Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It is November 16th, 2007, and it is time for TPU Radio. On today's show, I think it's pretty easy to get what we'll be talking about. The other topic of the day is Iraq. It's the topic of the week. It's dominated. It is. I think it's important to discuss a couple of things related to not only President Bush's speech and Petraeus and Crockett's testimony. It's really important to discuss where the Democrats go from here. Why haven't the Democrats worked for the end of the war? Why the Democrats seem to be almost giving up on ending the war? That is our topic for today. If you want to join us, our phone number is 718-664-6734. Or you can reach us via instant message at VAAM, username CAP-GAD71. With that being said, let's get right to the show. We're going to bring in my good friend, Will.
Hello,
Will.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Can you hear me okay?
It's a little garbled. I'm not sure.
We're having some more feedback problems here, it seems like. I can hear you, but you're really low.
Oh, how's this?
That's a little better.
Okay.
Thanks. I can hear a little better now. Let's bring in George, make sure everything's all cool on his end, too. Hey, George. If I hit the number. No, I got to hit the button. There we go. Hey, George. You there?
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Hi,
Will,
George.
How are you?
How's the audio for you this morning?
I can hear Will loud and clear. You're garbled as all hell. Unfortunately.
This is going to make it a difficult program, isn't it?
Kind of. Well, just expect a lot of what?
Huh? Or dead air.
I'll make sure to speak loudly and repeat myself often. George, we didn't have this problem Tuesday night, did we?
What's that? We had a great show.
We didn't have this problem on Tuesday night, did we?
We had a great show on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think this is a Sunday morning thing. Maybe there's a lot of traffic on the network. Whatever it is, we're having a little bit of a hard time on Sunday mornings. We'll work through it. We'll do the best we can. Okay. Topic of the day is Iraq. I'm going to let Will start. Will, have you been paying attention to Iraq this week?
I've been paying attention to some. I didn't get to see the president's speech, though. Because I had to work I had to work that night, but it's from what I've heard, and from what I've heard on the street, and from what I've heard from other people and on the news, it's no different from what he's said before. And I don't think I missed anything.
I anticipated you saying that, so I have a little excerpt from Bush's radio show Saturday. By the way, was the same as his speech on Thursday. Let's go to George right now. George, initial thoughts on the week in Iraq and the discussion going on in this country?
Well, it was obviously a very eventful week, considering you had Petraeus going ahead and making his statement. You had Jim Jones making his statement, but at the same time, you had Bush just kind of latching himself onto those two, and just basically using their statements to say that the surge is working. The Iraqi forces are improving, when at the same time, Petraeus has said that it's not going to take, it's going to take like about at least 2 years before the Iraqi forces can, attempt to stand on their own two feet.
Yeah.
And it's just really sad, this, like, the way that Bush continues to spin any bit of news that he has. He can say... Petraeus can say the Iraqi surge is a complete and total failure and must be abandoned right away. And Bush will go on the next 2 days with a complete straight face saying the surge is working.
Mm-hmm.
Just because.
Did you watch the speech Thursday night, George?
Mm-hmm.
And And it's interesting to see that I was watching C-SPAN during the initial testimony that Ambassador Crocker was saying that there will be no, if I got this correct, there will be no defining point of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really just, really, you know, with all the stuff that the administration's been preaching, like, we're going to win this, and blah, and everybody's been saying, yeah, we got to win this. But, you know, and Ambassador Crocker comes on and says, well, you know what, there's no going to be real any, you know, significant, you know, point that we can say, okay, we won. Or,
yeah,
you know,
I think it's potentially America could declare victory at any time and walk away. Whether or not they've really won is a different story.
It's just weird, the way that this whole war has been approached to begin with, because you know Bush and company have played this off as, you know, this is a war against evil. It's like, well, evil is a fairly blanket statement. If you, you know, like if you win over evil, you're not going to destroy it, for one thing, because evil always finds a new way to manifest itself. We've seen it happen decades and decades and decades, you know, like in the past.
Right.
And it just seems like, you know, he's trying to, you know, be this, you know, this definitive president to finally stamp out evil, when it's, you know, like, you know, his buddy Jesus Christ couldn't even do that. You know, like.
Okay, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, one of the strangest moments of this whole week came Thursday night during that speech, when the president tried to spin the withdrawal of 30,000 troops as a sign that the surge is working.
You know,
I mean, we all know, everybody knows, those troops had to come out.
You know, one thing
those
that
troops
I...
were coming... Go ahead, Will.
I'm sorry, it's just, you know, one of the things when I didn't hear it, but when I... got it on the street, you know. Well, you know, read reports that he was going to withdraw 30,000 troops. I got kind of skeptical. Is this another ploy or another reason to extend the war, rather than just going in and stamping it out and stamping out this quote unquote evil? You know, is this another way of just?
The reality is, those troops couldn't stay in Iraq indefinitely. They said it from the beginning when the surge went out. The troops were going to have to come out by next summer. So for him to spin this, like the surge had worked and we're pulling out troops, is a flat-out lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a bold-faced lie.
You know,
everybody knew those troops were coming out. And so he comes out here and he waves the flag on Thursday night and says, look, the surge worked. And if the church keeps working, we'll withdraw the troops. Well, there's some tricky logic, because it's not going to keep working. The progress has been limited basically because what you're dealing with is a clear and hold operation, which means that as long as they have the troops to stay in a given area where they deploy, they can clear out insurgents, blah, blah, whatever they're facing, domestic or foreign. And as long as they hold the territory is secure. That's what's been happening. The problem is when you reduce troops, they don't have enough forces to hold the areas, so the clear and
right.
Hold operation will not work.
Right, and that's why it'll extend. I mean, that's why
it'll revert back.
It'll go
on. As soon as the American troops leave an area, the insurgents come back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is all a big shell game. That's all this is. You know, this is look, it's working here. It's like, as he's selectively picking, it's working here, here, and here. What about Baghdad? What about the Iraqi government? Isn't Baghdad the source of the real problem here? How come you're talking about Baghdad? I mean, because probably there's no progress to report there. Just a guess. I just, the whole thing just made me want to pound my head up a wall. But, okay, George.
Yes.
Okay, I'm making sure you can hear everything. George,
so that's something.
that's good. You're more awake this week than last time.
I am much more awake.
Progress.
I made sure to have my coffee this morning. So.
I'm proclaiming this show a success.
Yes.
Right now. I'm adopting the Bushian philosophy I'm recording today's show, Success. George, you can really hear me. There's no problem. It's Success.
There is some garble, but overall I can hear you.
Are we clearing up a little bit?
A little bit. Maybe
okay,
it's my ears getting accustomed to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try to include you as much as I can, George. Just make, if you need me to repeat something, just say the word. Now, George, what did you think of that speech on Thursday night?
I told you before, I wasn't able to see it, but I did, read up
okay.
on it. So I was able to.
Okay. Yeah. We have a little
problem. It basically just based on what I read and everything, it just sounded like it was no matter how you want to spin it, it just feels like it's more of the same. It just feels like Bush is making another plea to the American people to buy into this war that they haven't bought into for years, and it's really sad. And I was actually watching. Meet the Press right before I phoned in, and both Kerry and McCain were on the show, and McCain was asked this question: the American people, the majority of the American people, oppose the war, oppose the direction. The majority of Congress oppose this direction. Can you continue on in this direction without the support of the American people? It's basically just saying, can you just go ahead and disregard what the people want and continue to go ahead with your own agenda? And McCain simply said, "Not for long." He had already sketched out just how long we can go about our business in Iraq without the American people going, "Hey."
Yeah, well, see, they've turned on this war being the public probably about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So far, the president's been able to just roll on through, He doesn't need American opinion and support, apparently.
And that's not exactly the sort of message that you want to send to the American people, who are probably as jaded right now as anybody, considering what's been going on in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with both of you fellows. There is a palpable sense of frustration among everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, because they just don't feel like they're being listened to.
Right.
Because they're not.
They're not. I mean, it's not like
they're paranoid or anything about that. They're not being listened to.
I've been emails for probably months now expressing this pain, especially among Democrats. The frustration is getting higher and higher with this Congress, and the fact that, as I put in my Thursday or Friday column, the Democrats now seem to have adopted the strategy that they're not going to try to end the war; they're going to try to slow it down.
Well, they're trying to basically just kind of come up with some sort of a benchmark of their own so that they can say to the American public, "See, you made the right decision."
They are looking for validation that the vote in 2006 was the right way to go, and look, we're doing our best. But the problem is the American people don't want a slowdown.
They want an end.
They want an end.
Right.
And no matter what the Democrats do, it's not going to look enough, and quite honestly, it isn't enough. Now, we have a phone call, and I think it's Mark from PC Live. So let me get our call. He's been sitting here patiently for a good few minutes now. Hello.
Hey, Jason. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I've been listening to your show. This is actually the second show that I've gotten a chance to listen to now that my schedule changed. So wanted to call in.
We're going to discuss your schedule change and when your show airs. In a minute.
My show airs.
Oh, go ahead and plug it now.
What was that?
Plug it now. Plug it away. Where can they find it?
Okay. PC Live, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning from 10 to 11, right before the political universe. Get up an hour earlier and listen to Brnack at 10 a.m. PC Live.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay, Mark. Mark, you want to talk about the topic of the day?
Do I want to do what?
You want to talk about our topic of the day here?
Yes, I do. we covered the Petraeus Report on my show as well. And I have a slightly different take than you folks. My thesis was that the surge was supposed to get in, was supposed to go and give Maliki's government some breathing room to operate. And they're doing the best that they can, and I don't necessarily disagree with Petraeus's report. I don't pay attention to much of what the president says because his job is to go out there and sell the American public on this thing, and he's a bad salesman. So I don't concentrate too much on what he says, especially after having 6, 7 years of this and him doing it badly. However, my big gripe is actually with the Maliki government itself. How many times are they going to be given an opportunity to take root in the government, try to build nationalism and do away with the tribalism, and instead go on vacation? I cite Paul Bremer's book a few times whenever I talk about the Iraq War in saying these people don't know how to run a country. They're still, you know, elitist sort of debutante types who think that being in charge only means, you know, showing up and getting lots of money and not doing the hard work to run a country.
Well, I think the problem, and that's partially correct, there's another problem there, and the fact is the inherent structure of the government is deeply flawed. When we established a government, we didn't support resources. We didn't build a bureaucracy around them. We didn't build regional governments. There's no local governments. There's no police force. There's no public services. There was no military to speak of, actually, unless you believe in the president.
They started at the top, but again, I would highly recommend Paul Bremer's book because, I mean, he actually cites him dealing individually with a lot of these people, and it's funny because they keep talking about the corruption in the Iraqi government. It started almost from the time Paul Bremer took over, barring whatever ulterior motives he might have had. The man was dealing with people who, from the get-go, were corrupt, and any time that they tried to establish any kind of structure for the Iraqi government to build on, he was being undone by the Iraqis themselves.
But whose fault is this in the end? You know, when you look at the big picture, whose fault is this? Who decided to, who picked the people to deal with? Who made the decision? And it all comes back to the American government. It all comes back to right here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, the accountability is right here.
Yes, I mean, if you're talking
we can talk about all the fatal flaws that have happened since, but in reality, the flaw was in the design and carrying out of this war was the flaw. That's the fatal flaw.
I don't know. There's only a certain amount of time to go over the subject, but I do feel like it's very, very hard to fight a proper war in the modern age, and has been since the 50s. You know, when the horror of war is broadcasted on television, then there is no context to explain anything, just someone else's political agenda. It makes it very, very hard to do the right thing because the right thing is awfully horrific.
Honestly, I don't think this war can broadcast here. This war hasn't been discussed, really openly discussed in this country media-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody decided we didn't want to see any of the bad news, which is why the public backlash is so strong, because the American people got a filtered view of this war. And then when the reality started to rear its ugly head, people were like, whoa, where did this come from? What's this? And you're right, there was really no context for balance because people weren't getting the real story from the beginning. They were just told to wave the flag and cheerlead.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that squarely at Bush's feet.
I said that they were very bad salespeople during this whole thing, and if it hadn't been for 9/11, they'd have no sales pitch at all.
Well, I'm one of those people who's a conspiracy theorist who believes there still would be a war. 9/11 made it a whole lot easier because of Iraq. Hey, Mark, we got another phone call, so I'm going to let you go. Remember, where can we see your show?
You can hear my show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/PC Live. Get your back on.
Okay, Mark, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Jason.
Looking for
bye-bye.
Some menu stuff soon. Okay, that was our good friend, Mark Robbins from 411 Mania. We have another call, so let's get to our next call. And by the way, I'm going to do my best not to hang up on Will this week. 850 area code, you are on the show. As soon as the button actually hits, there. I hit the button, nothing happened, still nothing happened. There you go, this time. These buttons just drive me up the wall. Okay, 850, you're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hans Meyer calling from Tallahassee, Florida, fellow Blog Talk Radio host.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, y'all were talking about the responsibility, and it rests with the United States government, the mess, and what have you. Of course, you know, the famous plaque on the desk of Harry Truman, the buck stops here. It seems as though Bush has got the plaque on his desk that says the buck stops anywhere but here.
Oh, that's a fantastic point. We were actually going to get into that in a little while. The fact that he's using General Petraeus as political cover is almost deplorable. I mean, okay, this is just, these guys are public servants, and they're carrying out orders.
Well, of course, Petraeus is going to say, and you know, Petraeus backs President Bush, to alert the media. And what else are you going to expect? Most generals are going to salute smartly.
Yeah, he's the commander in Iraq. He's not going to say, you know what, things are terrible. Of course he's going to say things are going better. He's going to see the glass half full. Because if he didn't, there would be no point in staying there. There would be no point in his mission, and he couldn't sell his troops on going out and risking their lives every day. He had to come here and say things are going good.
Of course, I wrote a piece that showed up on opednews.com, and basically the gist of it was that any success of the surge, of the so-called surge, really is simply an indictment of the entire situation. If 30,000 troops in May and June of 2007 made such a difference, why weren't those 30,000 troops added in, say, May and June of 2003 or 2004 or 2005? For them to ballyhoo, oh, look at the success of the surge, all that does is highlight their incompetence even more.
Yeah, I mean, you would agree this is pretty much a political shell game. The whole discussion. I mean, I saw Chris Matthews called the whole surge discussion another distraction from the real issue, which is the war. I think they're interrelated. I think he's being a bit too cynical there. The two discussions are deeply interrelated, but. Yeah, I mean, the surge, if it's such a great idea, you're right. Why wasn't it done sooner? And why did it take so long to adopt a clear and whole strategy to deal with an insurgency or even recognize an insurgency? This insurgency would give it a couple years to grow.
Yes.
And that's why they have the problem they have today.
Absolutely.
We got to get moving. We have a few more minutes, a few more things left to cover. So thanks for your call. And by the way, where can we catch your show again? When and where?
My show is Saturday morning, Situation Awareness, 10 a.m. And by the way, gentlemen, we've highlighted your program on the front page of our webpage.
Oh.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's at freeworldradio.net.
However we can return the promotion, we'll be glad to do it.
I'm sorry, what was that? All right, thank you, gentlemen. FreeWorldRadioNetwork.net. We've got you highlighted on our front page.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Call back anytime.
All right, thanks much. Good show, gentlemen.
Take care.
Take care, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go, guys. We're actually getting phone calls. See that?
Yeah.
See what waking up early does? The early bird does catch the worm. Yeah, I think our colleagues have some great points about the surge, Iraq, and everything else. Now, as far as I wanted to kind of hit into the Congress report a little bit, but I don't think we're going to have time for that right now. You know, maybe we ought to think about extending our show again. Back to its old hour-long format.
As long as we can get, like, our feedback issues taken care of, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, we're not used to feedback. We've been kind of laboring here in anonymity for a while. so, yeah, people actually talking to us is a bit of a shock sometimes. What? People want to talk to us?
People can hear us.
Well, let's face it. We all pretty much have that reaction to daily lives. You're talking to us? That's even better than the other. You should know better than that. Okay, guys, I'm gonna kind of add any final thoughts on the war. Any final thoughts on this week, the war, the surge? Because, you know, we got to do the Joe Biden minute, of course.
Oh, by the way, Joe Biden was on Fox News this morning.
And he handled himself quite well.
Exactly.
He had Chris Wallace.
Yeah, just a guy that hosted.
I got the Joe Biden minute right here.
I'm not here.
We'll do the Joe Biden 5 minutes.
There you go.
The Joe Biden 5 minutes. Okay, this is getting way out of control. It's going to be the Joe Biden show if we don't stop it somewhere.
Yeah, well, actually, George, I'm surprised because Joe Biden was all over MSNBC before the president's speech on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the Keith Olbermann before the speech and on after the speech.
Well,
I'm kind of surprised you missed that, George. Shame on you for having to go away.
I'm kind of ashamed at myself for missing those instances. But you know, like at least I was able to see him this morning to hopefully.
Shame on you for having a real wife, George.
I know I suck. I know.
But okay, let's go. You know what it's time for, boys. It's time for George's favorite segment. I think the only reason George even bothers to come on this program.
I had a question contract that this got added.
The reason why he gets up in the morning, his sunshine, the apple of his eye.
Otherwise,
oh
he'd be sleeping in.
The audio file, I couldn't find it there for a minute, but just bounced away from me. This is not good. If we can't find the music, our Sunday's ruined. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for. Where's the music? Where's the music?
It's playing.
Oh, it's playing.
Wow. There it is. I solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of America.
Didn't we have gotten right to this?
Franklin Delano Roosevelt Biden. Okay, guys. Okay, here's what Joe had to say in advance of President Bush's speech Thursday night. Bonk. We're going to just keep talking over the head of the chief because he likes Joe Biden and he deserves it. By the way, we're going to start adding my news for other kinders. I want to do the dance contingent 30 seconds since Joe's tolerated gets a minute. Okay, here's what Joe said. Joe said, quote, "The war belongs to the president, not his generals or his ambassadors. It is the president's time and his responsibility to answer a question that the general caring about his policies in Iraq could not answer. Is pressing ahead with the war, making America safer. Based on everything we have heard this week from the president's surrogates and everything I've seen and heard during my 8 trips to Iraq, the answer is no. The president's strategy in Iraq is not succeeding. It's not making America safer. Doing more of the same would be a disaster. The president's strategy is to stand up Iraq security forces so that they can stand down. But 4 years and $20 billion later, the Iraqi army is still years away from being ready to take over. The National Police Force is so corrupt and so sectarian that one of our most respected military leaders, General Jim Jones, don't freaking call it, recommended it be disbanded. The president's strategy is built on to build a united democratic central government in Baghdad with the fears and support of the Iraqis. The primary purpose of the president's surge is to buy time for that government to succeed. 8 months into the surge, there has been no national progress in Baghdad. The sectarian war continues unabated, militias dominate the country, and more Iraqis are fleeing their homes for fear of sectarian violence than ever before." And he goes on, but we'll end it up right there. So that's what Joe had to say. Reactions?
Well, to quote Mr. Carl Spackler, it's a little harsh.
Yeah. I think the frustration is also growing for Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Not just towards the war, but in general on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
It's basically,
yeah,
I mean, the man's obviously got a lot to say, and what he says very well. So it's just a matter of making sure that people can listen to him, and it's good that he's been getting these spots on the air lately. It seems like he's, you know, kind of like calling dibs on a lot of, you know, like really good, meaty points that he can really make his point at, while the other candidates are basically just kind of like left to hang back. So he's really making a surge to try to get into that to try to break that glass ceiling and get into the upper level that Obama, Clinton, and Edwards are enjoying right now.
Okay, does the Joe Biden minute turn into the Joe Biden 7 minutes? Let's wrap this show up. George, what's on tap this week?
This week on Scene Anatomy 101, I'll be continuing my month of Star Trek columns with a scene from the film Star Trek Insurrection. And the next day for the UBS Evening News, I will be enjoying my 31st column doing that report. And you can find both on 411news.com/movies.
31st.
Wow.
31st, yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow, that's like what I write in a month. No, I'm just kidding.
I never thought I would have gotten that far with it. Yeah, so, hey.
Yeah.
George, I'll tell you, you can't miss the Anatomy 101. It is one of the best written columns on any website, much less the internet. But 401 is extremely lucky to have you.
Thank you.
You know, anything on your end? Will.
What? Oh, sorry.
Anything on your end? Anything on your end this week you want to talk about?
No. Nothing.
You're just not a morning person. Okay, we're gonna replace you with my cat.
Oh, come on. No, anything
okay,
but that.
Okay, guys, we're time to die. We're already a minute late. So, George, I'll see you Tuesday night for the Wrestling Steroid Show. If we can get the testimony in Congress and everything straightened out, we'll be back on the air for that. With Larry Tonka. Well, if you want to come back on Tuesday, you're more than welcome to. I know you're off work that night. For both of you guys, thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing the audio. We'll see you next Sunday at 11 a.m. for George and Will. This is Jason saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.